this morning that I'm thankful to be with you. And I trust that you will continue to pray that the Lord will bless us in our efforts this morning to speak to you. I don't think I've ever had the privilege to be messaged on in church before, but I'm thankful to be here. My brother Sam called me while I was coming through Atlanta this morning, telling me what they were, a wonderful meeting they were having over at Bethesda Church. And I told him that I was in the middle of Atlanta. I don't particularly like to drive through Atlanta, much less talk on the telephone. Driving through Atlanta. So he didn't keep me too long, but he said, tell all of you brethren hello. I want to read to you this morning from the first chapter of 2 Corinthians and try to present a present blessing from the third verse of the first chapter. There are three verses in the scriptures that read almost identical, and I want to try to deal with those three, the Lord willing, this morning. In the third verse, he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I think the apostle is teaching us in that third verse to praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's worthy of our praise.
Amen.
If you don't have any other reason this morning to praise him, just praise him because he's God.
Yes. Amen.
He's worthy of all of our praise.
Yeah.
And then he says that he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's something to praise him for, isn't it?
Yes.
He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says he's the Father of mercies. What a blessing. I thank God this morning for all the mercy that's been extended to me in my life. He's a God of mercies. The psalmist says in the 103rd Psalm, he's plenteous in mercy.
That's right.
He just got plenty of it.
That's right.
And by the grace of God, he has extended to me his mercies. Praise him because he's God.
Yeah.
Praise him because he is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise him because he's the God of all mercies. And of all comfort. I tell you, there are times in our lives that we need a lot of comfort. There's times in my life that I need comfort. And God is the Father of comfort. He knows how to comfort the poor sinner. And then he says, who comforted us in all of our tribulations, that we might be able, through the comfort that God gives us, to comfort others that are in need of comfort. I've had brethren and sisters to comfort me in times of sorrow in my life. This is a present blessing. You know, sometimes we need things right now, don't we? I remember hearing old brother Elder Pat Bird make a statement one time that he and another brother had been up in the state of Virginia on a preaching trip, and they had not slept one bit all night. The bed that they were sleeping in had bed bugs in it. And Brother Pat said the old brother that was with him walked around at the end of the bed and raised his arms up and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And I mean like that. God can comfort us in our tribulation.
Amen. That's right.
Sometimes we need him right now.
Yes.
And he is a very present help in time of trouble. Praise him because he's God, the creator of the universe. Praise him because he's blessed us to see the truth.
Yes.
Brother Sam admonished me on the phone this morning. He said, if you're called on to preach, preach the truth. I said, if God will help me, I will.
Yeah, that's right.
I want us to turn to the book of Ephesians. And in the first chapter, the third verse. All three of these verses are in the first chapter, the third verse. He says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He's fixing to present a past tense blessing.
That's right.
One of the greatest blessings that God has ever allowed my eyes to see and my ears to hear. He says, according as he has chosen us in him.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the world was ever created, God was working.
Amen.
He was working to save his people from their sins.
Amen.
He chose them and he gave them to his son.
Amen.
He God elected them. Yeah. You know, some people don't particularly like the doctrine of election. But it's in the Bible.
Amen.
I've heard that where one college professor said, "Try to do away with election and your soul's lost."
Right.
Yeah. But he said, "Keep it a secret." Just keep it a secret.
Tell everybody.
Keep it a secret. I declare unto you this morning, had it not been for God's grace in electing us, none of us would have ever been saved.
That's right.
That's right.
Having, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And how is that going to take place? It's because God predestinated some things.
That's right.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his good will.
Amen.
God, in his infinite power and mercy and grace, predestinated us to be adopted into his family. Now, I don't know a lot about adoption. I know a little bit about it. I've never been through the process of adopting a child. I've known a lot of people that have. But I don't know this much about it. A choice has to be made.
That's right.
Before you can adopt somebody.
That's right. Yeah.
God made a choice before the world was created. He elected his people because he loved them. Now, I can't explain that. I can't explain how God has forever loved the elect. But I believe it.
Amen.
I believe that God knew his children in eternity past. And he elected them and gave them to his son. And his son came into this world and died on the cross to redeem all of them from their sins. And one day they shall be presented before God holy and without blame. Because Jesus paid their sin debt.
Amen.
Jesus is a Savior. I heard Brother Danny Parker preach last night. And Brother Danny said, I asked a man of another faith, did Jesus save anybody when he died on the cross? Did you know he said the man couldn't answer him? If he'd have said yes, he'd have tore his doctrine up.
Yeah, he would.
And if he'd have said no, he'd have tore his doctrine up.
Right.
Jesus saved his people when he died on the cross.
Yes,
my dad used to say, if you don't believe me, at least believe what an angel said.
Yeah.
An angel told Joseph concerning his birth that Mary is going to have a son.
Yeah.
You call him Jesus.
Right.
For he shall save his people from their sin.
Right.
Not one that Jesus Christ died for will ever spend one moment in hell.
Amen.
As old Brother Pat used to say, if one of them got there, he'd ram-shake. God would ram-shake it and tear it all to pieces till they got him out. You're both, you paid for. You belong to Jesus.
Right.
You're not even your own.
That's right. Amen.
You're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And I wish this morning I could tell you more about it than what I can. But I can tell you one thing. As I've already said, not one that Jesus Christ died for will go to hell. They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now I want us to turn over to the first chapter, I believe it is, of 2 Peter. And the third verse says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is a future blessing.
That's right, Brother Dan.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Do you ever need to be begotten again?
That's right, Brother Daniel. Amen. Okay.
You know the apostle writing this chapter? He needed begetting again.
That's right.
He had denied his Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Three times. And he says, by his resurrection, we've been begotten again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From the dead. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. It preserved in heaven for God's children, because God himself is our Savior.
That's right.
To a lively hope, living hope. You know, some people say, I wouldn't give you a dime for hope. If I could sell mine, I wouldn't sell it for nothing.
Amen.
Some people say that hope is not worth really trusting in. Hope is not a sedative, brother. Oh, no, it's not a sedative. But it's like a blood transfusion to a man that needs blood. My hope is an anchor to my soul, both sure and steadfast.
Right.
Why? Because it's already entered into the veil with the forerunner. Jesus Christ is in it. And every once in a while, I feel him tugging on my soul. And I say, Lord, even so, come quickly.
Amen.
Oh, may God help us to rejoice in the glorious work of the resurrection of our Lord. It's a stimulating thing to God's children. Hope it. He's begotten us again unto lively hope. Oh, may God help us today to rejoice in the hope that God has given us. And each time that it's renewed by the Spirit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Oh, he's the God of all mercies, isn't he?
Yes.
And he has an abundance of mercy. You know, I know a lot of people today that are real, real upset about the things that are going on in America. And I don't like it.
Amen.
But I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry on it one bit because I know who's in control. The God in heaven is control.
That's right.
And he can take care of me and mine. As long as I obey him, he will too, friends.
Yeah.
I may have to go through some trials and afflictions, but God says that he'll be with us when we pass through the water, through the fire. He's going to be with you then. Why? Because you have a living hope in you. You have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has implanted us with a hope that's stronger than anything this world has to offer. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. Don't you know those apostles' hearts leap with joy when they saw the resurrected Christ? Some of them didn't want to believe it too much, you know. Thomas didn't. But I just know how thrilled their hearts were when they saw him alive. He had told them, but they didn't comprehend it. Sometimes I read things in the scriptures 4 or 5 times and I just don't see it.
Yep, that's right.
Sometimes I read it 15 and 20 times and I don't see it. But every once in a while, God will let me see a little diamond in the rough and I thank him for it. I'll tell you this morning, my hope that I have is anchored in heaven. That'll see us through it all, brother. He said that we have an inheritance. A lot of people are living till they get their inheritance in this world. I don't ever expect to get one. My daddy was a poor Primitive Baptist preacher. But you know what? He raised 15 children. And we never went hungry.
Yeah.
We never had a day that we didn't have something to wear or something to eat. Now, if I asked for a nickel, he might have said, I don't have it then. Or a dime. And many days he didn't. But he left me something far better than an earthly inheritance.
Right.
He left a good name, brother.
Amen.
And I thank God for it. And that's the best thing that you can leave anybody in this world is a good name.
Yeah.
It's better than anything else. And all the rest, better than rubies.
That's right. Very great.
May God help us to know that if you don't have an expect an inheritance in this world, you've got one in heaven.
Amen.
There's a day coming when you and I will be raised by the voice of the Son of God from the dead. If we're fortunate enough to be living when he comes, we'll be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye to an inheritance incorruptible. It's not going to fade away. My wife and I were blessed last year to build a new house. But you know what? It's going to fade away one day.
Yeah.
It's going to fade away. I was an old country boy. My first wife died in 95. And I moved to Macon, Georgia, in a condo. The only thing I liked about it, I didn't have to cut no grass and trim no weeds. That's all I wanted. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you and Judy gone crazy, moving out of a condo as old as you are and building a house. I said, I'm free. I'm free. I don't mind riding alone, boy. As a matter of fact, I left. A lot of people don't believe I love to ride a lawnmower. I still got a lot of child in me. I have, brother, I tell you. I asked my little nephew the other day, I said, Landon, do you think I'm old? He said, you're ancient, you just don't act like it. I want to live while I'm on this world.
Amen.
I want to praise God for the inheritance that I believe I've got.
That's right. Yes.
It's an uncorruptible inheritance.
Yes.
That fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you.
My God.
It's reserved. I've had people to tell me about they made reservations somewhere and they'd get there and they'd tell them, you don't have a room. We had to break your reservation. I hope that never happens to me. But I get mad sometimes. I hope I just hang my head low and walk off, but I doubt I would. He says, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Now this is something that's absolutely amazing to me.
That's right, yeah.
You are kept by the power of God.
Yeah, amen. That's it.
That just simply means that eternal life and your inheritance is waiting for you.
Yeah.
And God is going to keep us till we get there.
That's right. Amen.
He's going to keep us. Now, I didn't say that that you were going to persevere.
That's right.
I didn't say that. I don't believe that.
I hope you don't. Preach it,
Brother
Dave.
I did not say that. I said God's going to keep you.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Now, if you get by in this life, you're going to have to do some walking. And some paths
right.
for honor him.
Yeah.
And if you get out of those paths, you can disgrace God and yourself.
Yeah.
I want you to know that. One of the best friends I ever had died in a bed of filth. A drunken filth. A child of God, I believe with all my heart.
Yes.
They have more primitive Baptists than anybody I ever knew of. He did not persevere.
Right.
And the same thing can happen to you and I.
That's right.
If we don't watch where we put our feet.
Yes. That's right.
Sometimes you have to be careful.
Yeah.
By the grace of God. So far, God has helped me. And if I do what He tells me to do, He'll continue to help me. There's too many ifs in the Bible for me not to believe that there's not anything that's conditional. There's many, many things in the Bible that's conditional. And it's based on what you and I do while we live here in the world. Now, heaven's not.
That's right.
Your inheritance is not. But God is going to keep us in His love and take us home to be with Him one day after this life is over. There's one something I wrote in the back of my Bible. I write a lot of little things, personal note things in here. The word perseverance, the action, condition, and instant of persevering. Persevere to be persistent in a state, enterprise, or undertaken in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement.
Amen.
And there's one other little thing I want to read, and I'll get out of this brother's way. Brother Sam also said that they were having a memorial service for Brother Obey this morning. I got to know Brother Obey a little bit, talked to him a few times, rode with him in a car once. And Brother Obey rejoiced and the doctrine of the salvation by grace as much as any man I ever saw. And one of the most glorious things he said was that when he finally saw the truth, it was the only thing that gave his ancestors any hope.
That's right.
Of living
Amen.
In heaven.
Amen.
He said, I have been told all my life that they were all going to hell because they haven't heard the gospel. To be delivered from a bondage such as that would have to be great.
Amen.
In the world, there are over 191 countries. And in that 191 countries, there are 6,800 known languages. And only out of those 6,800 known languages, there's only 2,261 that has a writing system. These are facts. So that leaves over 4,539 languages that are spoke in the world that have never read the Bible. Never read the Bible. Probably most of them have never heard anything close to the gospel.
That's right.
But you know what? Paul says in the Revelation letter that out of every nation, every country, every tongue, God has a people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the reason I don't worry about those 4,000
Amen.
Some different languages.
Yeah.
Because God knows who are His. I get happy sometimes when I read where Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are Him. And you know what? He knows where they are. I believe with all my heart that He sent Brother Obey to America to learn the gospel to take it to Africa.
That's right.
That's how God works.
Yes.
Men don't work that way, do they?
No.
They get fast and say, we got to do what God's not doing.
Yeah.
And they'll take off on a trip. And the Lord won't even be in it. Come ahead, brother.
Amen. The voice of